In this new chapter that we are going to read, in 1 Corinthians 6, the first six verses, Paul took up a problem that seemed to have been a little bit more prevalent in the Corinthian church. That was the problem of suing people, suing each other, going to the courts of law. So Paul had to respond to this very strongly, very urgently, and he wrote, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, and are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? Not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers." Now, Paul takes a very strong view concerning going to the law courts in this particular chapter here. And we need to read this text carefully, lest we misread and misapply what he was trying to communicate. First, we need to know the background, a little bit of the background of the Roman judicial system, right? Now, the judicial system of Rome had actually been there for hundreds of years, and it will carry on long after, until the whole Roman Empire collapsed. It was used for hundreds of years, and it was based upon a system called the 12 tables. Right? And those are the laws that are set for all Rome to utilize. So that system has actually affected very much the judicial systems of the Western world. Now, some of those aspects that we may highlight would be they had a code for criminal law, for civil law, for religious law, even for family law. And so you can imagine that the law was well ordered. But there were certainly areas which were not perfect. That's obvious, right? For example, the whole law was actually in favor of the patrician class. The patrician class are people who are called nobility. They belong to the noble class, and they are well protected by the law. Then there are the plebeians, and these are the ones who are considered low class. And till today, that problem, the word pleb, is utilized in a bad sense, in a pejorative sense today. But they were always on the losing side as far as the law was concerned. So if you have a person who is from noble birth or belong to a noble family, and there is a dispute between them and a plebeian class person, the chances are those who belong to noble with nobility will win the case. Bribery in those days was so common. It's a question of how much the judge can be bribed. And then the thing will go in favor of whoever gives the biggest bribe. That becomes a problem. So we have therefore a definite tendency to have a miscarriage of justice. This is the background that Paul has in mind when he rebukes all those who are very quick to go and sue a brother or a sister for that case. With reference going to Roman court for whatever it is that's there. And so Paul wrote and asked them, why were they doing that? Why were they going to a Roman law court in the first place? Right? This was a sad reality that had to be addressed. Right? So some people use the law courts, obviously, to use legal means to get what they want. Not because they're right, but because they are able to make use of the law courts to their advantage. So who are the ones who will benefit if you're rich, if you're powerful, if you're influential? But who are the ones who will lose? The plebeians, the poor, the uneducated. You're bound to lose. And so you have a situation where people go to church for worship, and then there are brethren who sue each other, and there are some who come to the church glad that they have won the case, and there are those who have lost the case, and they come to church seething in rage. How does this work? How would this calculus carry on in the church? And so Paul's admonition became very, very strong. How do we look at these things here, right? Now, if we were to look at the text very carefully, we would see certain definite guidelines. So when Paul said, how dare you, dare any of you, having a matter, go to the court and to the unrighteous. Now, the word unrighteous would describe basically the judicial system. Most of the judges are actually appointed among the patrician. In fact, plebeians are not allowed to become magistrates. They don't become judges. So there's a law against them already. So this was an unrighteous system. So Paul is asking them, why are you going to the unrighteous who practice these things to obtain what you call justice? Now, that was the first thing here, right? So there we go. This is important for us that we want to take a look at this. Verse 4, we read, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? In other words, if you were to ask the church, who are the ones who are esteemed enough to go and judge cases? The answer would be none of the Roman jury system. None of the judicial magistrates or judges, because they don't know the scriptures, they don't know the Lord, they don't understand faith, they don't understand compassion, they don't understand mercy. What they understand is how much money they're going to make out of it. So why do the church people go to people like that? And Paul says, I say this to your shame. How can they practice this? How can they talk about worshiping God together at the same time, sue each other? It's like what James tells us. How can the mouth, on one hand, praise God, and on the other hand, curse men? This is a very similar situation. On the one hand, we worship God. On the other hand, we sue men. And that becomes a problem. And now it doesn't mean that the law courts are totally useless. Right? It doesn't mean that there isn't a fair judge around. But the problem is that a lot of situations, those who are disadvantaged, they are going to carry on being disadvantaged. That is the first problem that we need to know. Now, Paul went on to give admonition concerning the church and the saints. Now, this is a very important thing for us to understand. First, they are called the saints, in other words, the holy ones. One of the important ingredients, or one of the important challenges that they must consider when you go to someone, is that the person you go to has to practice holiness. In other words, you have to be, as it were, like one who is called saint, a holy one, sanctified by the Lord. If the person is not a holy, not sanctified by the Lord, and not a person walking in holiness, the chances of an error in judgment, the sense of being able to uphold justice, may be doubtful. But here are the saints. So Paul asked them, are they truly unworthy or unable to judge the smallest matters? So what we are really getting a feel of is that the people were in the habit of suing each other, even on smallest of matters. So if there's any way I can take advantage of another person because I'm born, I come from a noble family, because I have the funds to do it, you engage, you sue a person and you win the case, when it is such a small matter. Even in the smallest of matters, they were so used to going to the courts just to resolve a matter. That became a problem. So Paul had to remind them, who are the saints? What is it the Lord has given to them as their special blessing? And one of them is, and one day we shall judge angels. Of course, he's referring to the millennial kingdom, for example. Right? Once we are in the millennial kingdom, we are going to help the Lord in ministering the law. We would by then be able to do that. We would be instructed by the Lord and we can do that. But the point of it all is that saints are what they are. We are holy ones. We practice holiness. We practice righteousness. And we have also the ability to judge. Now, this is important. So if one day we can judge even those who are angelic beings, Paul tells us, surely we are able to judge those who are on this earth here, who have life on this earth, and that is important, right? So if you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, why do we give up this prerogative and allow unrighteous people to rule, to make the rule for us, to give us the law, which is already weighted and certainly prone to abuse in more ways than one. So Paul has to rebuke them and he says, I say this to your shame. You are passing on responsibility to people who actually have unfit to be judges, and yet they are. A lot of times, most of these judges have gotten their positions because some of those things have got people higher up, people who are in higher circles, and they get appointed to become judges because of family connections, because of favors, and so on and so forth. And so Paul tells us that they should stop this. How can a brother go to law against a brother? Worse, and that before unbelievers. So when we know that there are things which are wrong and there is a clear abuse of the law, and we see this very clearly, right? The trial of the Lord Jesus before Pontius Pilate. He was a governor. He was above many of the judges. And yet there he was, completely giving up the case because it was under pressure from the chief priests, from the elders, from the multitudes, from the people who were shouting, crucify him. Well, there you have a travesty of the law. There was the law not upheld in any way. Right? And then we have Paul going to the magistrates in Philippi. Without even being formally charged, he and Silas were both thrown into jail. This is the kind of miscarriage of justice that can happen and did happen. So Paul warns them and speaks and writes out of experience that we should not go to the law courts easily. At the drop of a hat, they will just go to the law courts. And Paul says this is to their shame. Right? Now, does it mean, therefore, as we apply this lesson, does it mean that all judicial systems are to be rejected? Answer, no. Right? Now remember, the law courts were meant to ensure the protection of all, right? Saints and unbelievers. So there must be that law and order to be upheld at all times, right? Justice must be fully supported. So there is no question about the fact that we believe in the law courts along these lines. But where there is perversion, where there is any form of corruption like bribery, then the best thing to do is to try and resolve all small matters among the church brethren. They can find a saint, they can find a holy person, they can find a righteous person, and that person will help to mitigate, will help to do whatever it needs to be done in order for matters to be resolved. I think that is something that is absolutely wise on the part of the Apostle Paul to give to the church in Corinth. Well, may we learn how to understand how to apply this particular text. Let's pray together. Now, Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, who is himself a wonderful, compassionate judge, fair at all times, upholding that which is true and upright. Help us to understand that's how we should be as believers. Teach us what it means for us to practice justice. Help us to exercise what it means to be holy saints before your sight. We pray that you will teach us how to have a good regard for the law, at the same time be sure that we have as good a regard for each other as brethren of the Lord Jesus. We pray for your blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.